Hello everyone, welcome to this service. Jody and Stuart here at Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. This coming Sunday is a family service, so there'll be no long sermon. There'll be some reflections and some prayers and readings. And we are continuing with our Advent mini-series, looking at the songs of Advent. We've already had Isaiah's song of comfort and Zechariah's song of salvation. Today we're going to look at probably the most famous of the Advent songs, Mary's Song of Justice, known as the Magnificat. And in church we'll be lighting our Advent candle, and here we're going to light a candle now. So as we light this Advent candle, let us remember that God's kingdom is one of justice. Let us recall how Jesus was tiny but incarnate in Mary's womb. God, with her in body and spirit, inspiring in her a song of kingdom justice. Father, be with us so that we may also be inspired by your kingdom and your plan for how the world should work. Help us to take up the challenge of living as citizens of that kingdom. Amen. Call to worship. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber.
Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life.
The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Amen. We'll now have the reading of the Annunciation from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfil his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then returned home.
In several places, the Gospel tells us that Mary pondered and treasured these things in her heart. I wonder how carefully and secretly she kept to herself what had happened with the angel as she travelled to Elizabeth's house. Perhaps she was desperate to talk to someone and let it all out. And so it's Elizabeth's greeting, her acceptance and affirmation, which unlock a profound response from Mary. Words pour out of her with joy, faith, and perhaps a sense of relief too. This is known as the Magnificat, Mary's song. Luke doesn't say that Mary actually sang, but we are going to sing it, although we're not going to sing it now. They're going to sing it in church. And that hymn is, "Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord," which sets Mary's word to music. Let us pray. Lord, as we reflect upon Mary's song, help us to see where it finds echoes in our own lives and our own historical circumstances. Send the same spirit that inspired Mary to us as we reflect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No politics, it's Christmas. We're always told to keep religion and politics out of polite conversation, especially at the dinner table. Christmas can be a bit like that too. People like to keep politics and religion out of their Christmas. Let's not spoil our cosy Christmas card nativity scene, which is full of furry animals, clean straw, sweetness, and childlike charm, with talk of ugly, divisive, worldly politics. But this is to forget that the Christmas story is shot through with politics and socio-economic realities. Luke and Matthew's account set the story in history with statements like, "In the time of King Herod of Judea," and "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree. A census should be taken. Quirinius was the governor of Syria." After Herod had died, any Jewish person would have known exactly the political and economic setting of the story. The Romans were oppressing the people, and the people in turn were being oppressed by their own political and religious leaders. It would be like us saying, during the time of COVID, when Boris Johnson was Prime Minister and he ordered a lockdown of the country. We would all know the politics and reality of any story whose scene was set like that. As we come to the Christmas story this morning, let's not politely gaze on a sanitized crib scene. Let us remember that it is into a time of political oppression and injustice, of social hardships and economic struggles, that God broke through. In church, we're going to listen to a familiar carol, "Silent Night," but this is Simon and Garfunkel's version. So if you want to look it up, you can Google it. It's called "Silent Night, 7 o'clock News" by Simon and Garfunkel. So that's "Silent Night, / 7 o'clock News" by Simon and Garfunkel. And as we listen to it, we're going to use it as a meditation on how the reality of ugly everyday life mingles with the Christmas story. We're now going to listen to a poem called "The Kingdom is Here." I can't think how to pray when I'm watching the news. All humanity's hurting, divided and bruised. And all I can say is the world's a disaster. A familiar prayer, God's kingdom come faster.
But the kingdom is here, if you've eyes to see. A teenage girl is on bended knee. Pregnant, alone, no family supporting, dumped by her man. But instead of aborting, she sings, she rejoices, she calls herself blessed. God scattered the proud and raised the oppressed. He's knocked down the powerful, filled the hungry with food, sent the rich home with nothing, his justice pursued. She's seeing the light, she's seeing the world in a different light. In the light of the world, it's because, not despite the way that things are, that the kingdom shines through. In the light of the world, we can glimpse what is true.
So where is this kingdom? Have we cause for a song? When the hungry are starved and the mighty are strong.
Yes, the song of the kingdom's the song of the blessed. It goes, blessed are the losers and the distressed. Blessed are the poor, downtrodden and slow. The refugees running with nowhere to go. Blessed are the grieving, blessed are the weak. Blessed are the bullied, the voiceless and meek. Blessed are the victims, blessed the oppressed. Blessed are the broken and the depressed. And blessed are the peacemakers, blessed beyond measure. The pure-hearted ones who discover this treasure, this parallel kingdom, invisible, true. They live in its blessing, and they could be you. For the kingdom is here, if you've eyes to see, with the hungry and poor, in you and in me. The kingdom is doing its mustard seed thing, growing in secret, spreading its wing. And here in this kingdom, it's all upside down. The humblest are highest, the poor get the crown. And the runners who sprinted to be in first place are arriving to find that they lost the whole race.
So I know what to pray when I'm watching the news, when humanity's hurting, divided and bruised. I look for God's justice, light in the dark, and I know that the kingdom is making its mark. In Advent, we wait for God's coming to us. But sometimes what we need is not to wait, but to open our eyes and see that he's already here. What had started to grow inside Mary was not just a baby, but a realization of what it meant for God's kingdom to come. Mary realized what God had done, and it brought her such joy, she couldn't keep it in. She sings of a vision of the world in which the poor are fed, while the rich are sent away empty. The fire of God's justice was growing inside Mary, God's plan for fixing the world. Mary's realization was something in the past tense, what God has done. She is no longer waiting for God to act. The coming of God's kingdom is both past, present, and future. We live in it as a present reality. We wait for it as a future hope. Where have you glimpsed something of God's kingdom recently? Can you think of any examples in your own life or on the news where you've seen God's light breaking in? In the words of Leonard Cohen, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. None of these things are perfect, but God shines in and through them. A confidence in God's mercy and justice which grows out of what God has already done in and through Jesus. This is hope, the hope of Advent. We can long for justice at the same time as being secure in the knowledge that God also longs for and works towards the same goal. We can fight for change at the same time as recognizing that justice will not be completely done and perfect until Jesus comes again. We praise God for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do in a turbulent world. That's the music of the Magnificat. We're going to move into a short time of prayer. And think about what are the issues of justice facing us in society today. Just think for a moment the things that are on your own heart or mind. Might be issues to do with racism and Black Lives Matter. Issues to do with care for the environment, climate change. Issues around war and peace. Think of what's happening in Afghanistan with the famine there after the conflict there. Or minorities being oppressed like the Uyghur people in China, or how refugees are treated. We think at Christmas time of those who are on the streets who are homeless, or those that need mental health care provision but are often neglected. So let's pray about some of these issues that we think about at the moment. So let's have a moment's quiet when we think about these issues. Loving God, you are a God of justice. You desire justice in our relationships with each other, especially with the poor and the weak and the oppressed. And we pray that you would strengthen us to work for your justice, even in the imperfect society that we live in. Help us to do our bit to push our society more towards your kingdom and its values. Spark in us, as you sparked in Mary, that passion for justice, where the humble are lifted high, where the rich and the haughty are brought low. And help us to use our voices to speak out for justice, to speak out for peace, to speak out for the marginalized. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'll close now with a blessing. As we prepare to leave and embrace the challenges of our lives and world, let us ask for God's blessing. May God bless us with strength to seek justice. May God bless us with wisdom to care for the earth. May God bless us with love to bring forth new life. Amen. Thank you for joining with us, and have a blessed Advent and Christmas when it comes. Go well, and God bless. Amen.